Okay, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Let's wait a minute if anyone else wants to come. Okay, Abby, good morning. So, I mentioned before, I'm sure in some context, the famous Sicha of Rabbi Lichtenstein about Mordechai and Esther that changed my life and going into Chinuch and the famous, exquisite, hour-long Sicha. And Rav Amital's inspiration to me to go into Chinuch came from a story. Very quiet story, but sense that Rav Amital conveyed of Chinuch and the importance of Chinuch. He was traveling home, he told us once, from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, and he heard a news report on the radio. This is before, obviously, internet. This is in the 60s, maybe even late 50s, but probably early 60s. And it was a report of a fire in a multi-story building in New York City, multi-towered building. And the children were assembled by the window of this upper story, and their parents had gathered beneath on the street below. And the fire department had arrived with mattresses and rescue apparatus. And the parents were begging the children, jump, jump, you'll save your life, jump out of the window. And the children were too frightened to jump. And because they were too frightened, they died of smoke inhalation or they were consumed by the fire. It was not clear, but they died. Whereas the parents were devastated that the children couldn't listen to them and jump. Obviously, they were frightened. And he saw this as a metaphor. He saw this that There's always a gap between generations, and sometimes it's sad that a younger generation doesn't understand the language of the older generation. Not just the message, but the language and the culture and the cultural setting, and that here the older generation had information that could have saved the lives, or at least had a decision that could have saved the lives of the younger children, but they just couldn't convey that to them because they were too locked in by their fright and their fear as youngsters. And he said, what a pity it is that you don't share a common language and you can't convey important information. He said he drove home that night and he arrived in his community in Givat Mordechai, where he lived, right near the Chevron Yeshiva. And on his way home, there was a fire in one of the apartment buildings in Givat Mordechai. Obviously, a fire, not a conflagration, right? The buildings in Israel are made from stone, so it's not like it was going up in smoke like it would be in London or in Kutzlaris, but there's fire nonetheless, and there was an elderly woman who was asleep in her room, and she could have been seriously imperiled by smoke inhalation. So he banged on the window, and he was able to help her get out and escape the fire. Same day, he heard the report about the fire in New York. There was a fire in Givat Mordechai. And he said he saw this as a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he did have the language that those parents didn't have in New York City. They did have a language that would help others escape the fire, metaphorically. And that emboldened him, which just reinforced the sense that he had to start a yeshiva and teach the younger generation Torah. So what I took away from this story, aside from the obvious, that's important to go into chinuch, as my Rebbe had thought about it, was twofold. First of all, we no longer live in an age of prophecy, of supernatural information. Hashem doesn't appear to us in dreams, and that's gone, but Hashem still speaks to us. And we have to learn how to interpret that, and at least be sensitive to it. And Rav Amital thought that Hashem was speaking to him. Hashem was giving him an indication of where he should direct his life and his resources. Let's be careful, because people who think Hashem speaks to them could sometimes go off the rails a little bit and start to imagine things and start to say, well, this is what I'm sure Hashem wants for me. But so you can't be too direct and precise. This is what Hashem told me, to wake up at 12 o'clock today and be the Mashiach, or to have scrambled eggs, or whatever. I have to be very careful about interpreting in general. But Hashem speaks to people. I remember when Rav Amital taught us the Kuzari. I mentioned this earlier in the year. He talked about that a little bit. The Kuzari king has a dream in which a malach comes to him and says, your internal motivation for religion is appropriate, but your actions aren't. And he sees this as a sign that he should launch a study and an inquiry of different religions. So people receive messages from Hashem even in a non-prophetic era. And the second issue is Rav Amital was always conscious that every generation has its own tonality to religion and to culture and to Torah. And he says that in terms of a language, there's a language that each generation, and you always have to struggle to understand the language and the cultural setting of each generation. Because if not, then you're outdated and your messages simply are irrelevant and artificial, and they don't penetrate people's hearts if you're not able to understand what language to speak in. I don't mean English or Hebrew or French, but what cultural language to convey. And that's basically the drive for starting this yeshiva, because he thought that the Lithuanian model of yeshivas just wasn't relevant for the post-World War II era. He was wrong. He was wrong in terms of the Haredi sector, because they were able to lock in a classic Lithuanian style of learning, at least for the meantime, and find it highly successful. But at least in our world, he felt that just replicating the Lithuanian model, at least in Israel, wouldn't be. And he basically built Hesder. He launched the concept of Hesder, which has Lithuanian influence. And Rav Aaron always thought it should be like Voloshin, but it's very, very different on many fronts. Obviously serving in the army, obviously learning more Machshav and Tanakh, obviously being located in far-off places. So it was a very sense of, you can't just teach Torah like you taught Torah 20, 35 years ago. There's an ebb and a flow to each generation. You need to understand their language. I remember towards the end of his life, he felt, he would say that generations used to take 25 years to change. Every 25 years would be a generation. He says, now it feels like more 6, 7 years. Every 6, 7 years is a new generation. I wonder what he would say today. I have the feeling every 3, 4 years, things change so fast and cultural milieus alter so rapidly that you have to constantly be updated, or at least think about it. It doesn't mean you have to immerse yourself in culture, but at least think about, otherwise your messages will go stale and they'll just become outdated and obsolete. So this is what I took from the story. Number one, Hashem speaks to us. Number two, that you have to make sure that you speak in a language that people will understand, not just in your own. Sometimes Rabbanim speak to themselves, and it's very hard to imagine that people really find it as personal and as inspiring. Okay? So that's story number three. See how many of these stories we can discover. Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.